In case 84220, Lanier, is that correct? Lanier? Okay, thank you. Versus District Court, Flangus. Counsel, are you both ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
And is it Mr. Kehoe?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, Mr. Kehoe.
Good afternoon, Chief Justice, Justices.
Would you like to reserve any time?
Yes, Your Honor. 6 minutes, please.
All right, excellent. Thank you.
Welcome to Justice Lee and Justice Bell to the bench. May it please the court. Amended Rule 41E was created by this court to address the situation with jury trials not being possible during the pandemic. This court considered a variety of options of how to handle the situation, including possibly making the five-year rule discretionary to individual judges. After about 6 months of consideration, this court amended the rule to address the concerns in two different parts. First, it requires tolling of the five-year rule during the time that jury trials are stayed by a district-wide administrative order. Second, it permits district-wide administrative orders to extend the tolling of the five-year beyond the period of the stay up to an additional 1 year. In our case, the 8th Judicial District Court stayed jury trials starting March 16, 2020, and continued that stay until February 1st, 2021. Then, the 8th Judicial District Court exercised the discretion granted to it in the amended Rule 41E to extend the tolling of the five-year rule for five additional months beyond the ending of the stay. That brought it to July 1st, 2021. Thus, according to the district-wide administrative orders in the 8th Judicial District Court, the five-year rule was tolled for 472 days. Petitioner is not disputing this analysis. Respondents, in this case, the plaintiff in the below case, had a full 5 years to commence trial under Rule 41 and an additional 472 days to do so as a result of the pandemic. Respondent failed to commence trial during that entire time, totaling over 6 years, and therefore their complaint against petitioner should be mandatorily dismissed. The application of this amended rule is still being worked through by lower courts. That is one of the reasons why this writ is valuable. Some courts are not adding any time to the five-year rule, in spite of the pandemic and the amended rule, and other courts are appropriately adding the additional time. In our case, the district court judge granted more time than the amended rule permits. The district court judge entered an order in October of 2020. The respondents are now trying to save their case by reinventing the nature of that October 2020 order. That October 2020 order was never intended to be a stay order. There is no motion for a stay. Not even a single reference to a stay is in the transcript from the hearing that resulted in that order. Never discussed at all. And the order itself does not use...
What did the motion ask for? Because it appears the motion isn't in our record.
I can't swear that the motion is or is not in the record. I know the transcript from the hearing is in the record.
I did see that.
If it's not in the record, I apologize, and I presume respondents apologize. The... motion was to confirm the tolling of the five-year rule pursuant to the administrative orders.
And that was before we made the change to 41E, correct?
It was. That was in, the order was October, and so it was a couple months before that that the motion was made.
Could the court have realistically held the trial within the period of time that you are suggesting? Could Denton have done that, or was his own calendar preclusive, along with the district-wide stay in place? Was it possible, based on Judge Denton's schedule, plus the administrative order, which I understand did expire in July, but was it even possible for Judge Denton to hear?
It was absolutely possible for a couple of reasons. One, the stay of jury trials ended in February of 2021. The tolling ended in July of 2021. So the 8th District decided to add 5 months tolling after the stay ended. But then in September of 2021, Judge Denton entered an order with a footnote that said, if either party is concerned about holding an expedited trial, I am willing to bifurcate this case so that you can commence a bench trial and get it going. In addition,
I apologize. Can you repeat that? When was that?
That was September of 2021. It was an order denying a motion for summary judgment. And in the footnote, he offered that to the plaintiff. In addition, each of the district-wide administrative orders specifically says the judges are, and the parties, are to take into account the five-year rule. So they were reminded repeatedly about the five-year rule. They were offered. And then between July 1st of 2021, they had until December 14th. They had a 5.5 months to commence trial. And there's not a single evidence in the record, because it doesn't exist, where they ever asked the judge to commence trial.
May I interrupt you and go back, because this was a question that I had as well when Justice Kadish asked the earlier question about the motion not being in the record. I agree that we couldn't find it in the record either. The transcript was there. But Judge Denton's order, and I just want to ask if this appears to you to be a correct statement about what the motion was about, entitles it as plaintiff's third motion to extend discovery for plaintiffs only, pursuant to NRCP 6B and EDCR 2.25, and to continue trial, and confirmation of court's finding of suspension of Rule 41B. I took it to be that was the entirety of what the motion encompassed.
Correct, Your Honor. And the order is definitely in there. And what the order says is trials aren't happening under and pursuant to 41E, and therefore trials are stayed. And or told is what it says. 41E is told, doesn't say stay, and I will reset this trial when I could do so. What's important to realize is he did so 2 months later. So even if it was a stay, even if he had the authority, which I don't think he does under your precedents, to enter a stay to extend the five-year rule, you have limited it from what I could find to bankruptcy, some construction defects, some med mal. But even if he could, his order specifically says the end date of the tolling, which is as soon as he can set the matter for jury trial again, which he entered an order in December of 2020 resetting the matter for jury trial. In addition, the district-wide stay ended February 1st. In addition, the tolling ended July 1st. In addition, in September, he specifically offered to set the matter for trial on an expedited basis. Plaintiffs never took advantage of any of those warnings, admonitions, or opportunities to set the matter for trial.
Okay, so I know we have an order from him. But if Judge Denton made all those offers that weren't taken advantage of, then why did he ultimately deny your motion to dismiss?
It's a fine question, Your Honor, and most of that record is in there also. I am equally confused, which is why we're here today on a writ. I think there is a lot of confusion out there. You know, there was a recent decision where a judge did not grant any of the 472 days. And a different court said, that was a mistake. You need to add that.
Because a lot of times when we set matters for oral argument, it seems like the whole idea of whether we should entertain the writ kind of gets glossed over because we've set oral argument. But I get your confusion. But why is it that we should be entertaining this writ at this time anyway? What standards does it meet for us that we should issue an opinion on the merits of the writ?
This is a significant issue that exists in the state right now, across the state. It is a relatively new rule that this court has not opined on, and it has ongoing concerns. As I suggested, there was a relevant case just last month where a district court judge ruled that no time should be added, and a different court said there absolutely should be time added. I was at a bar mixer, and an attorney said, if you asked every attorney in this room how this rule should be interpreted, every attorney would give you a different opinion. So I think it's important to get clarification.
But Judge Denton didn't base his order on the amendment to 41E, did he?
He definitely considered 41E because it was part of the argument.
But that's not the basis for his order. His order is on his predicated on his prior orders in the case and the calculations he made and his estimation of his own discretion.
Correct. He seems to believe that he had the discretion to control his own calendar, and he made the comment that the pandemic is unprecedented, and all of your prior precedents about the mandatory nature of Rule 541B, the five-year rule, and the non-discretion and everything else went out the window as a result of the pandemic. And that was an option. That was an option your honors considered doing. But you specifically ruled against that. Two of your dissented in that decision in the amended 41E and suggested maybe we should give the individual judges the discretion. And five of you decided not to and left it to district-wide administrative orders.
Was the September 2021 order that you referenced earlier about Judge Denton reminding the parties offering to bifurcate, was that included in the record?
I believe it is.
Okay. I'll go back and look. I apologize, I didn't.
But with one item missing, I'm not comfortable swearing.
Okay. But and what date do you contend that the time expired?
December 14th of 2021. That is, so the case was filed August of 15. The original five-year rule ended August of 2020. If you add 472 days to August of 2020, you get December 14th. The other way it could be looked at is at the when the stay started in March of 2020, the plaintiff had 167 days to bring their matter to trial. And so when the stay ended in the 8th Judicial District Court, or the tolling ended July 1st, if you add 167 days to July 1st, 2021, you end up with the same December 14th deadline.
Understood. Thank you, counsel.
All right. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Mr. Eisenberg?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, Robert Eisenberg on behalf of the real parties in interest. There was confusion, perplexity, distraction, and uncertainty brought about by the COVID pandemic. Those were the exact words Judge Denton used in denying the motion to dismiss. And he was correct. There was confusion and uncertainty. Now that the pandemic is largely behind us, many people have forgotten how bad it was, with thousands of people dying, businesses going belly up. We couldn't even find a roll of toilet paper. The judiciary, like everybody else, had to struggle with it. And one of the biggest struggles was what to do and whether to have a grace period once the district-wide stays expired. At the hearing on Rule 41E, Justice Bell, the chief judge at that time, said she was extraordinarily concerned about getting cases to trial in light of the huge backlog. And although there was some disagreement about whether we should get rid of the five-year rule altogether, everybody agreed that there had to be some kind of a safety net or grace period to deal with the situation about when the stays expired. But this case can be decided, this writ petition can be decided without even getting to Rule 41E, because in this case, Judge Denton's order was a stay order. This court has recognized that judges and courts have the right and the discretion to interpret their own orders. Judge Denton consistently interpreted his order as a stay order.
Mr. Eisenberg? I'm looking at Judge Denton's order that on which your opposing counsel are seeking the writ, the order filed January 31, 2022, right? And on page 5 of that order, I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 places where instead of the word stay, he crossed it out and instead said toll, seemingly saying his order did not stay anything, but purported to toll the timing of the rule. How do you interpret that?
Well, there's also two places where he left the word stay in, and previous to that order, he issued an order asking the parties to brief, to submit supplemental briefs on the issue, and in that order, he specifically characterized his October 2020 order as a stay order.
This one isn't his final order on the matter?
He had a hearing on the motion to dismiss, and then he ordered supplemental briefing. And in that order, he characterized his order as a stay order.
And is that not the order filed January 31, 2022? I just want to make sure there's not a different order I should be focusing on.
The order you're talking about is the order denying the motion to dismiss.
Right.
The order I'm talking about is the interim order dated January 22nd, 2022, which is in the record. And it refers to the October 2020 order as a stay order.
Additionally,
alleging that the January 31st order that Justice Kadish was just referring to was the final order.
That was the final order denying the motion to dismiss. And by the way, Justice Kadish, you asked why did Judge Denton deny the motion to dismiss?
Yes.
And part of that is based on his own interpretation of his order. And when he said repeatedly that it was a tolling, he said Rule 41A does not apply and it is tolled. Well, you don't have tolling unless there's a stay. There's separate
which
concepts.
Begs the question, why did he cross out the word stay and write toll instead?
Well,
Judge Denton didn't need to stay the case if there was a district-wide stay in place, but he did need to recognize the tolling of the five-year rule. But didn't he also allow discovery to be going forward throughout this time period?
Well, right. And
the case, if you're still engaged in the discovery practice during this time period, to continue to be ready for trial.
Sure, and there were discovery disputes and discovery proceedings that went on despite the district-wide stays of trials. And Rule 41E only deals with trials. So discovery was ongoing in this case, motions for summary judgment. There were plenty of things going on. This wasn't a situation where the plaintiffs were sitting on their couch not doing anything, just waiting for things to happen. The case was being actively litigated.
Even if we assume, though, that the October 19, 2020 order was a stay order, it was stayed until the case was set for trial, right? And that happened on December 31st of 2020. The trial was set for June 15th of 2021. So wouldn't that eliminate any stay that had, if there was one, imposed by the October 19, 2020 order?
Well, but Judge Denton explained that in his order denying the motion to dismiss. And what he explained was that although it had been set for trial, he had vacated the trial and that there was a district-wide stay in effect when he had issued that order. And therefore, he concluded that he concluded that the court's order dated October 19, 2020, tolling and staying the applicability of NRCP 41E to this case was not rescinded. So what
well,
he
if it's
said...
the district-wide stay that controls, under Judge Denton's view, didn't that end in July of 2021?
The stay ended, but not the tolling. And
how can there be tolling without a stay? Under what authority can there be tolling without a stay?
Well, that
can
would
a judge
get back,
just say, I'm tolling 41E?
That would get back to how you interpret Rule 41E and whether there is a grace period at all under the administrative order that was issued.
Right.
The administrative order said that the stay would end on July 1st of 2020, whatever it was. What we're contending is that everyone had agreed, and the whole purpose of the amendment to Rule 41E was to provide a grace period or a stay. And as Justice Pickering recognized, there needed to be some kind of continuity or among the districts. And so here we have 12 judicial districts. You're going to have, 11 judicial districts. So you're going to have 11 different periods of time.
Right. Well, the actual rule that got adopted over Justice Pickering's dissent included a provision that allowed that additional time if there was a district-wide order so stating, because we thought some districts might only need 3 months to get everything to trial and some might need a year.
And that depends
on, happen here, right?
That depends on how you interpret that rule. We contend that the language of the rule is such that if there's an order vacating the stay, then there's a one-year grace period. And at the very least,
it says up to 1 year. So how much of a stay was there?
Well, in this case, the administrative order that was issued didn't provide for any grace period at all.
Right.
And there wasn't anybody who spoke at the hearing or who provided written comments on it. Nobody suggested that there should be no grace period at all. And it's impossible to imagine that either this court or Chief Judge Bell at that time contemplated that if, for example, there was a case that only had 2 or 3 days left in the 5 year period, that when she issued that order, then on July 1st, there would be 2 or 3 days left and people would be elbowing each other out of the way to get to trial. Nobody suggested that. That would be an
absurd. Don't we have to rely on what the rule actually says, not what people thought at the hearing?
Well, no, what the rule says is that if there's an administrative order that provides for a termination of the stay,
right,
then there should be a grace period of up to 1 year. I contend that just about the only reasonable way to interpret that rule, to be consistent with, number one, the whole purpose of the rule in the first place, not the five-year rule, but the purpose of the provision allowing a grace period, and the policy behind trying cases on the merits, the way to interpret is that there can be a district-wide order that provides for a grace period of less than a year, but if the order is silent, then there should be a default grace period of 1 year. To me, that seems to be the only way it can be interpreted to make sense with the purpose of that rule. But besides that, Judge Denton interpreted his own order.
Let me interrupt you on that, because you've mentioned that on several occasions now, and I fear a very dangerous proposition to say judges can issue orders in writing that the parties then rely on, but later on a judge can go in and say, well, let me tell you what I really meant. I know nobody moved for a stay, and I never said anything about a stay, but really I intended that to be a stay order. I mean, we have to have some clarity from the issues that are in the order that's issued by the judge, and the parties then move forward relying upon that. And here, let me finish. Would you agree that, as counsel was saying, and we were discussing since the motion's not in here, that there was never a motion for stay filed in the lower court that produced that October 2020 order?
I'm not aware of a motion for a stay, but like you said, that motion is not in the record.
Okay.
But when you talk about reliance, with all due respect, Your Honor, I think you've got it the other way around here. What Judge Denton found is that the plaintiffs relied on his order.
Well, that's
plaintiffs relied on, and his order said 41E does not apply, and 41E is told as a result of this order. And he found that the plaintiffs relied on that, and that was part of his decision in denying the motion to dismiss later, and part of his decision interpreting his prior order.
So by my calculation, it looks like folks were about four years, 5.5 months into the case before the pandemic started and these stays or tolling motions and orders were put in place. Even if you take the pandemic out of it, who's got the obligation in prosecuting their case to kind of make sure that they're going to abide by the five-year rule and get a trial date in time for that and make a motion to extend or anything else in front of the judge presiding over the case? It would seem to me that the plaintiffs would be responsible for that, correct?
Sure, the plaintiff does. Okay. But if the judge issues an order that on its face, it may not use the word stay, but it says the five-year rule is not applicable and is told.
Wasn't that just acknowledging that as a result of the district-wide administrative order imposing a stay of trials, that right now it's being told? Doesn't mean forever?
Well,
I apologize if that wasn't clear. What I'm trying to ask is, wasn't Judge Denton's October 2020 order acknowledging that, yes, the Rule 41E period is currently being told, simply an acknowledgement that that was the effect of the then-in-place district-wide stay of trials?
No, Your Honor, because his order did not merely make an observation that the time is told. His order ordered that the time would be told. It said, it is hereby ordered, and as I recall, it was all capitals in bold, it is hereby ordered that the time is told. So he wasn't just observing it based on the administrative order. He was ordering it. And that's why later on when he says, gee, and the plaintiffs relied on my order, how more unfair could that be? And you have the Boren case that talks about the fact that you have to look at fundamental fairness and equity, and how can a judge issue an order that tolls the five-year rule that the plaintiff relies on and then later on say, well, we're going to grant a writ because he manifestly abused his discretion.
Discussing about it being plaintiff's obligation in this regard regarding the five-year rule, which ties into Justice Bell's question. If the judge issued an order and says plaintiffs relied on my order and the order said this is told until I can reset the trial date, and then the judge resets the trial date in December of 2020, if plaintiffs relying on that order, then the order is gone at that point, right? Because the judge has reset the trial date. So again, who should have that obligation to go to the judge and say, what happens now?
But if you look at the judge's order denying the motion to dismiss, he explains exactly what his thought process was on that, and he explains exactly why he determined that his preliminary order setting the case for trial did not supersede his prior order and that the stay was still in effect. That's the way he interpreted his own order and his order vacating the trial, to which defense counsel agreed. And one last thing, if I could just have a couple of seconds, Justice Herndon, you asked what the standard is for the writ proceeding, and I would just like to conclude by pointing out that the standard for a writ is whether the district judge manifestly abused discretion. It's not just a regular old everyday abuse of discretion. It has to be a manifest abuse of discretion. And I don't think any amount of debating skill should be able to convince this court that Judge Denton manifestly abused his discretion by interpreting his own orders the way he did and by applying fundamental fairness and ordering a trial on the merits in this case.
Mr. Eisenberg, may I ask one other question? You brought up the Boren case, which I do find to be persuasive. However, in my estimation, if the October 20th, 2020 order was in fact intended to be a stay and your clients relied on that, then two conditions had to exist for that stay to be lifted, correct? So the district-wide stay would have had to first be lifted, which I believe is why his first order setting the trial was ineffective because the district-wide stay was still in place. Secondarily, he had to himself set the trial when he was able to set the trial date. Was there an opportunity for you all to have the trial heard within the five-year period, even with all of the tolling in place? Or was it that just Judge Denton couldn't accommodate that time frame? What was the circumstances?
As I understand your question, and my recollection is that the district-wide stay orders did not say there will be no trials. There was a second part of that sentence. There will be no trials unless the district judge in an individual case lifts the stay in that individual case. So was it theoretically possible to go to Judge Denton and ask him to lift the stay? I guess it was it would be possible under those administrative orders. But in the absence of that, his stay was in effect. And that's what he believed when he denied this motion to dismiss, that his stay was still in effect.
Okay. All right, thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Keough, we'll give you 5 minutes rebuttal.
First, on the October 2020 order, what it says is the court further orders that the five-year rule set forth at NRCP 41E is not applicable at this time. It does not order a tolling, does not order a stay. It simply acknowledges it's not applicable at this time, which it wasn't because of the district-wide administrative orders.
Well, it says that, and then it also goes on in that same sentence to say, and is told until such time as the court can reset the trial date.
Correct, okay. Which I think read together indicates that what he's relying on is this district-wide administrative orders.
So to part of what counsel was bringing up right at the end there, let me ask you this question because I want to make sure I'm not missing something or confused. At the time that Judge Denton reset the trial in December 2020, the 8th Judicial District Court administrative order was expiring in February of 21, correct?
Correct.
All right, so he set a trial in June of 2021. So arguably his order was effective. Then in February of 2021, the 8th Judicial District extended essentially until July 1st of 2021.
Yes, and those are very interesting. That was one of my...
Hold on, let me
I'm sorry.
Question. But I'm correct about that, right?
Yes.
Was there any subsequent order by Judge Denton now saying I am staying this again or tolling anything again?
Not whatsoever. Okay. In fact, we have that September 2021 order that specifically offers set it for trial. Those administrative orders are interesting because I believe what the 8th Judicial District Court did in 2101, district-wide administrative order 2101, is lift the stay of jury trials on February 1st. Then there was another order, 2103, which extended the tolling. So even though the stay is over, the tolling, the grace period that was discussed, was actually considered and granted. There was no gotcha. There was no three-day issue. The district-wide administrative order considered how much time was necessary and granted additional time in 2103 administrative order, and then in 2104 administrative order granted even more tolling time up to July 1st. So I believe those considerations were made for how much time was necessary to grant to people to make sure that their cases could get to trial timely. The judges often make decisions with the best information, the best law that they have at that time. That's why we have an appellate court. This was an issue of first impression. Judge Denton, I'm sure, did the best he could at the time. But based on Your Honor's subsequent consideration of how to handle the pandemic, his ruling was simply mistaken.
Would you characterize the Flangus's as not prosecuting this case?
Personally, Your Honor, we believe this case has been a degree of harassment from the beginning. And as was suggested, that continued even after 5 years. There was no stay because we showed that there were scores of pleadings filed. They continued to prosecute it. What they didn't do is actually bring it to trial. And that's what the five-year rule requires, and that was my conclusion. When considering how to amend 41E, Your Honors, at the public hearings, the transcripts that are in the record, made much discussion considering that the amendment dealt with protecting defendants, and that's been mentioned here today. Defendants who are dragged into court and whose lives are disrupted up to 5 years, because often nothing else besides the five-year rule causes an end to the litigation. That is the purpose of the five-year rule. It is designed to protect defendants like the petitioner, not plaintiffs like the respondent. Particularly limit plaintiffs who had the full 5 years plus an additional 472 days. Right now we're over 7 years since their complaint was filed.
Counsel, Why do you think that we shouldn't consider Boren in an equitable type of consideration where the judge intended to stay this action, not prejudice the plaintiffs by having their claims dismissed under Rule 41E, and Boren kind of addresses that situation where the judge himself or herself takes it into his or her own hands to extend beyond the five-year rule based on their calendar, based on their backlog. Is that applicable here?
I believe Boren specifically addresses a stay. And everybody agrees if there's a stay, including us, 472 days worth. We don't like it. But everybody agrees if there's a legitimate stay, then that is accountable under Boren. Boren doesn't give specifics on why there was a stay. As I read it, your precedence is clear. I only found those three reasons justified granting a stay: bankruptcy, med-mal, and construction defect. If each individual judge were allowed to unilaterally create their own tolling of the five-year rule, then the whole mandatory nature and purpose of the rule is negated.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, sir. This matter will stand submitted.